following is a presentation of Learfield IMG College. From the Georgia Southern Sports Network, powered by Learfield IMG College.
Wings up, Eagle Nation! Touchdown, Georgia Southern!
This is Inside Eagle Nation, your all-access look into Eagle athletics.
Take a look through all the other action in Georgia Southern athletics this past week. A lot of road action. A lot of teams hitting the old I-16 out of town.
Getting on the steel horse and taking us to parts north, south, west, wherever. Can't really go too much farther east.
Now let's return to the Learfield IMG College studios. Here are your hosts, Colin Lacey and Danny Reed.
That's a fact, Jack.
Welcome into another edition of Inside Eagle Nation Live here from J.I. Clement Stadium. Colin Lacey and the voice of the Eagles, Danny Reed, as we bring you another edition of Inside Eagle Nation, episode number 130 here on a beautiful Tuesday in Statesboro before we hit the road and head to Macon for Georgia Southern and the Mercer Bears tonight.
I'm laughing because every time I hear that's a fact, Jack, Roger just makes me laugh anyway, but we had our all-staff meeting this morning, and Roger was there, and he says, "You never text me back." I said, "Roger, I'm trying to talk. That's like when you're cutting grass. You're probably not going to text back." I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, I hadn't seen Roger either. He texts us a good bit during games, but that's the first time I've seen him in a little bit.
We're going to need to reload on some Eagle tails for the fall since we're inching our way towards the end of the athletic season, but we know we've still got men's golf participating in Tallahassee in the NCAA tournament. Baseball's got a few games left going into conference tournament play next weekend in Montgomery. Lots of implications for the regular season, though, this weekend versus Arlington, so still plenty to get to. Not a whole lot of sports, but there's still a lot to talk about.
You can join the conversation by texting us at 912-274-3607. You can comment here on the Facebook live stream, or you can tweet us at GS Sports Network, and make sure to get in your U-Pick for this week, the last 5, 10, however many minutes it takes for us to cover. Anything that you tell us to talk about, we have to do. There's not a choice in the matter, and we've got to do it. It's called U-Pick for a reason.
Josh Sowers today?
We're going to have Josh Sowers on, the voice of the UTA Mavs. Or the Blaze, depending on who you talk to. But good to have Josh on this week.
I hope he has a picture of his binder. Not that we'll be able to see it today, but I hope he brings it with him because I do think that he is coming to Montgomery. He has to have that binder and needs to have his head inside the...
Oh, there's no doubt.
...the Lionhead logo.
Put his head inside the middle of the Arkansas Pine Bluff logo a couple of years ago.
It's so perfect.
I think that's when the first time both he and I at the same time realized that UAPB was in the Lion's Mane.
Yeah, the hair spells out UAPB.
Never knew that.
Yeah.
Blows my mind.
Marketing, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, fantastic. As always, Inside Eagle Nation is presented by our good friends at Arcola Septic. Arcola Septic is your premier septic services provider to Bullock, Bryan, and adjoining counties, and a great family-owned business that's run by a pair of Georgia Southern alumni. Make sure to give them a call at 912-318-7939. Or visit them online at arcolaseptic.com. For both commercial and residential customers, their more than 10 years of experience can help you out with pumping and servicing your septic system, drain field repairs, new system installation, and all of your septic needs. Remember to follow them on Facebook, Arcola Septic, yesterday's Meals on Wheels. Not a whole lot to get to, but a couple of important notes to get to in this week's edition of Inside Eagle Nation. As you mentioned, Georgia Southern Men's Golf down in Tallahassee. Day two of the NCAA regional down there. In day one, Georgia Southern finished tied for 10th with LSU. Ben Carr led the way with a 71 to lead Georgia Southern men's golf through one round. Again, Georgia Southern 0-3 over par to finish tied for 10th. As we take a look at the leaderboard, Georgia Southern has just teed off in the last 15-20 minutes. They have not recorded any holes yet that have come complete. But Georgia Southern still sitting tied with 10th with number 23 in the country, LSU. Florida State leads the way, the host institution, and number 2 in the country. They are 26 under par.
Wow.
They are through 8 holes here in day number 2 of the tournament. The top 5 in this tournament will go to the NCAA regional. The top individual from each school that doesn't make a regional, or that doesn't finish out of the regional, will get an at-large. So individually, Georgia Southern and Ben Carr has set themselves up well for Ben Carr to go as an individual to Scottsdale, Arizona for the finals, but we will have to see how the next couple of days shake out down in Tallahassee.
Cool.
Georgia Southern track and field finished up the season as they finished tied for 8th in the Sun Belt Conference Championship. three top three finishes on the final day over in Mobile for head coach Kelly Carter and company. Georgia Southern softball finished up their season. Again, we mentioned last week that they were going to be playing in a couple of hours after we recorded the podcast. It was a afternoon on Tuesday where Georgia Southern fell to the Georgia State Panthers after just sweeping the Panthers to finish out the regular season. But this over in Troy, a 4-1 loss at the hands of the Panthers, and that would eliminate them because they were in that play-in round, a single elimination for Georgia Southern at the hands of Georgia State.
Still a heck of a way to end the season, getting a series sweep of South Alabama here, and turn out that South Alabama, one of the four teams that made the NCAA tournament softball-wise this year, that's a great gift for the Sun Belt. You knew that Louisiana was going to be in after they win the league, but also Troy to get in as an at-large, for South Alabama to get in as an at-large. Just a you'd like to see baseball reascend to that, and I think it's going to take a couple of years once the RPI gets figured out, because right now the baseball, it's – you don't have anybody with 30 wins yet. You've got a lot of decent teams, but you don't have that truly great team. But I do think that with softball having the Louisiana, the Texas State, the two Alabama schools going into the regionals, that's a really big deal for women's sports in this league.
Yeah, no doubt. Georgia Southern baseball had a little bit of a tough week last week because of the midweek game against Kennesaw being canceled because Kennesaw was afraid of a COVID outbreak that would eliminate them from the conference tournament. Georgia Southern just had three games. It was up in Elon, North Carolina, a former SoCon rival. They have moved to the CAA. Georgia Southern, of course, to the Sun Belt Conference, so neither one in the SoCon anymore. Fell 2-3 to Elon, but good to catch up with a couple of old friends. You had Taylor Durham up there. Got to see him a good bit on Thursday because that series was Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
And we're going to see the benefits of bumping that back this week because everybody will come into this weekend against Arlington on full rest. Not a series you would typically play this late in the year, especially at Elon, but this was an instance where I think Coach Hennon has told us before, this was originally going to be East Tennessee State, but the Southern Conference striking non-league series. They went to doubleheaders on the weekends, playing three games in 2 days. So Georgia Southern last minute needed somebody before the schedule went out, and it turned out that Elon had some availability, so it was the third time to play the Phoenix over a five-year stretch, and yeah, it wasn't a very good weekend, but I think we still saw some things that as you get towards the end of the season and tournament time, you need to have guys available to do a lot of different things. You saw the outfield completely switch for game three. Noah Searcy comes up with an RBI double. Chandler Davis started two of the three games. Noah Ledford has a glove. He played first base for a little bit on Saturday, and a lot of different guys threw, building their confidence up in the case that they may be needed this weekend, maybe tonight, but of course in Montgomery as we get ready for tournament play.
Got some things in motion for next week because the tournament starts next Tuesday in the first game, I believe, at 12:30.
The first game that day is at 9.
That's right.
But if Georgia Southern, perchance, we're not going to get too deep into it because there's a lot of scenarios, but if Georgia Southern were to drop to number 3 in the East, they would play 12:30 on Tuesday. If they get the 2 seed, or the 1 seed, because that's still available, they wouldn't play until Wednesday.
So because of games going on Tuesday, we are contemplating and waiting for final approval from the higher powers that be that there may be a Monday night Inside Eagle Nation live from Riverwalk Stadium.
Bum, 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 bum.
And my guess is since everybody's going to be making their way over to Montgomery in the Sun Belt Conference probably on Monday anyway, that we're going to have a whole cast of characters on that edition of Inside Eagle Nation.
That can just turn into a full conference tournament preview.
It can also turn into a Sun Belt broadcaster Zoom call.
Yeah, we had several of those last summer, which weren't supposed to leak out, Jay. But it's fine.
We're going to get to Team Jay, Team Danny in a little bit when we talk to Josh Sowers. But Georgia Southern fell to Elon 2-3 games on Thursday. It was an 8-5 victory for Elon. 6-4 the final on Friday, but Georgia Southern bounces back with a 7-5 final on Saturday. And you talked about it. Got a lot of people in different scenarios. Got a lot of people to throw out of the bullpen in situations that you may not have. And really and truly, I know you lose 2-3 of those, but the pitching wasn't bad this weekend.
And that's to say the bullpen wasn't, because the starters are still struggling. Tyler Owens for the third straight week wasn't up to his usual standards. Chase Dolander didn't last very long. And even though Jordan Jackson only went 2 1/3, that was the plan going in. They knew that that third game they were going to try to get 6-7 guys work. They end up throwing 8 different pitchers. Nick Jones gets the final 8 outs, because he doesn't usually go that long, but he gave up 2 runs on 5 hits over 2 2/3, but picked up 3 strikeouts and earned his 15th save of the season, which is now 2 off a school record and 3 away from a Sun Belt record. But Elon just played better.
Yeah.
Georgia Southern got caught in a situation where they weren't scoring. They were collecting their hits, but didn't get a hit with a runner in scoring position until the second game, and that broke a 20 at bat hitless streak with runners in scoring position. But the good thing is Noah Ledford had a really good weekend. He drove in 5 runs, hit 2 homers. We saw Mason McWhorter punctuate the weekend with a home run in the 9th inning on Saturday, and they needed all of it because of Elon's rally. But Elon wasn't this otherworldly team. I mean, they were playing well. I think they had won 6 of 8 going into the weekend, a young team that wasn't full of freshmen and redshirt freshmen anymore. And it was a lot of what we saw the weekend before at Arkansas State, where it was just frustrating. Balls were going in play, but they were just going right at guys. And this was a much more hitter-friendly ballpark, but for whatever reason, Elon's fly balls those first 2 days seemed to find the jet stream, while Georgia Southern's just seemed to find gloves.
Georgia Southern will turn the attention to the Mercer Bears tonight. It's a 6 o'clock first pitch from Macon and Ortho Georgia Park. We'll have air coverage for you at 5:30 on the Georgia Southern Sports Network. And this is one, we've talked about it in weeks past, that the last time Georgia Southern saw Mercer was here at J.I. Clement Stadium about a month ago, and it was a 3-2 win, but we talked about it at the time, how that was one of the more postseason feel midweek games I'd ever been a part of.
That was the 6th straight of 8 consecutive wins after the Avant home run at Georgia propelled the team to those 14 wins in 17 games. Actually broke Mercer's 7-game winning streak that night. And we talked all the time about, oh, there's going to be a lot of pitching changes. It's going to be high scoring when these two get together. These are long games. Turned out to be one of the quicker games of the year. It was pitched very well. Georgia Southern played extremely well on defense. Mason McWhorter had an outfield assist throwing out a runner at home early in that game, helping out Jalen Payton, who got the start on the bump that night. But it turned out that it was Austin Thompson's sacrifice fly that gave the Eagles their only walk-off win of the season, and they did it off of one of the best closers, not just in the SoCon, but in the country, in Luke Sutko.
And he has struggled a little bit the last couple of weeks. I think you were telling me the last 3 losses that Mercer has, and they haven't lost a whole lot lately.
Yeah.
The last 3 losses they have are Sutko's blown saves.
Yeah, they've won 13 of 16, but those 3 losses are all saves that he has blown. Not where he has come in late with games tied and the opposition has gone ahead. That's when Mercer has had a lead in the 9th inning and the opposition has gone ahead. They've lost a couple of games via walk-off during that stretch. He's thrown in each of their last 6 games.
Good grief.
And that's different for especially a college closer. There's a reason why he leads the SoCon in number of appearances. He is hittable, but more often than not, he has gotten out of games. It just so happened that those games and the one here at J.I. Clements, that wasn't a blown save. It was a 2-2 game going into the 9th, but with the bases loaded, Thompson stepped up first pitch, drove a ball to right field, it scored McWhorter, and the Eagles ended up picking up the win.
Again, a 6 o'clock first pitch tonight against the Mercer Bears. We'll be on the air at 5:30. Jackson Kelly gets the ball from Mercer. He threw this weekend against the Citadel, where Mercer took 2 out of 3 in that SoCon series. But while we get Josh Sowers on the phone, the voice of the UTA Mavs, give us a preview of what we can see tonight from the Mercer Bears.
Jackson Kelly is somebody that the Eagles have seen quite a bit of the last really 3 seasons. A guy that is predominantly lower slot. He's not a knuckle scraper, but it's definitely more sidearm than anything else. But something that he did do against the Eagles in that outing about a month ago here in Statesboro, a couple of times he went true over the top. Mostly for those of you that are watching this, most of the time it's going to be from down here, like he's trying to skip a rock off a pond. But there's a couple of times where he'll try to deceive the batter and go up high. When he does that, it's predominantly with his fastball, and I think he tried to do it against Noah Ledford a couple of times. Led should have had 2 hits because he made great contact on both, but one ended up being a hard ground out to Despina at first. I think another one was a foul ball. So unless he's added something else to the repertoire, it appears that when he goes from here to here, It's not going to be very much, but it's going to be that fastball. Most of the time it's going to come from here. It's going to generate a lot of crazy movement. He's going to try to break off an off speed that'll get those left footers or those left-handed batters off on their front foot and generate that weak contact.
As promised, we now have the voice of the UT Arlington Mavericks on the phone with us, Josh Sowers. Josh, appreciate you joining us, buddy.
Hey, good to be with you guys.
Georgia Southern and UT Arlington will play this weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday to wrap up the regular season. What's kind of the overall feel around this UT Arlington team?
Well, unfortunately, tonight's game against Stephen F. Austin has been bagged. It is a very rainy Tuesday here in the Metroplex, so there will be no tune-up game to head into Statesboro. But the attitude is it's pretty much the same. Go out there, win a series. And Mavericks have been good on the road this this season, and especially when it comes to Sun Belt Conference play. And it's on the line. If UTA is able to take care of business and a couple things fall their way, then they're going to be the first seed in the West headed into the Sun Belt Conference tournament. And you know, for Georgia Southern, I'm sure you know there's a battle for first place in the East still as well. So looking forward to what's going to be probably a pretty intense series in Statesboro this weekend.
The first guy that we've got to talk about on this UT Arlington team, Carlos Tavera, he's a guy that we heard about earlier in the season when UT Arlington had a combined no-hitter into extra innings. What was that game all about? I know you got to call it for UTA. What was that game all about, especially being a combined no-hitter where he goes 9 innings of no-hit ball?
It was absolutely insane, and we saw the absolute best out of Carlos Tavera. He's been absolutely great this season. Now, his record may not show you that on paper because guess what? On the other side, you're going against the other Friday night starter for these other teams. So run support has been a bit of an issue for Carlos Tavera, but this is a guy that is going to have great success wherever the next step is for him and his baseball career. He's got just the absolute meanest fastball, and he comes at you. He's not afraid of you. He's not going to pitch around you. He's going to go after you. And we played the Little Rock Trojans on a Saturday and found our way to have a 9-inning no hitter. It's a shame the Mavericks couldn't get a run on the bottom of the ninth to officially put the no hitter on the statistic on the scorecard. But turned into a combined no hitter, an 11-inning no hit win against the Little Rock Trojans, a game that ended on a sacrifice fly. He's been absolutely outstanding this year, and we saw him against Louisiana going head-to-head with Spencer Arrighetti this last weekend, two of the top pitchers in the Sun Belt Conference. Both these guys doing everything they can. Carlos, he's a battler. He's gonna go out there. He doesn't want to leave the game. He was at 111 pitches when he left the game after 7 innings. He's going to battle, and the Georgia Southern fans on Friday night are going to be treated to something special.
Sun Belt fans the last few years have been treated to Connor Obie. I know his average is down a little bit this season. 2 years ago, I think he was in the Player of the Year discussion. But 10 home runs this season, plays a really good center field. He's one of my favorite players in this league. From someone like you who sees him a lot more, what is it that makes him so dynamic?
Well, he never gives up. And, you know, yeah, you said his averages are down, but he's always dangerous. You know, we saw, like you said, 10 home runs, always a dangerous player at the plate. It makes things happen. He gets the game started. He gets the momentum started for UTA. You know, typically we've seen him in the leadoff spot the last couple of years. Darren Thomas now in the third spot just because Boone Montgomery's taken over that leadoff role. But the support for Obie has been fantastic. He gets in that third spot. Typically one of these two guys are going to go on base, and he's a double machine. He can hit it to the gap. That's just simple. That's just simple what he does. You know, I mean, I had to get that in at some point, right? You know, we'll talk about that here, I'm sure, in just a little bit. But he's a battler, and he's just experienced. It's UTA is his third different school. He's seen all types of collegiate baseball, and he's kind of the UTA is full of experienced players, and he's right at the top of the list of that experience.
Georgia Southern obviously hasn't seen UTA in a couple of years with the COVID shutdown last year. Remind everybody what a Darren Thomas coach team looks like for the Mavs.
They're going to go out and swing the bat. They're going to go out there and hit. This is a team that is very patient at the plate. They do not strike out much. And as far as the pitching staff goes, they're not going to give anything up. You're not going to get many free passes from this team. You're going to get starters that will try to go some distance and just try to bring some power. They're a power hitting team, and competitive. They do play the right way. Darren Thomas, one of the most respected coaches in the Sun Belt. They're going to win games, but they're going to play the right way and get the job done.
All right, we've got to bring something up that's not on the baseball diamond. Last week when you were on the We're Talking podcast with Craig Melanson, a great podcast that covers Sun Belt Conference baseball, especially in all of Sun Belt sports, you said that you were Team Jay instead of Team Danny.
Absolutely. You got to respect one of the most respected broadcasters in the entire Sun Belt Conference who resides in Lafayette, Louisiana, Jay Walker. You know, Jay Walker was one of the first guys to ever approach me and say, "Hi, my name is Jay. What is your name?" So I have the utmost respect for Jay Walker in the Louisiana Raging Cajuns radio network. Now, when it comes to Georgia Southern, you know, I have to be Team Jay, because I think it's just very disrespectful sometimes, you know, the way that these the Eagle radio broadcaster goes after a man of experience, a man of integrity down in Lafayette. So I was born in Texas. I was raised the right way. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I don't see a lot of that between Georgia Southern and Louisiana when it comes to the radio side of things.
That might be the best response we've ever had on a podcast.
All right, tell us the story about Hit It to the Gaps.
Well, the Hit It to the Gap, and actually, and I'd be very curious to hear what Jay and Brad of Louisiana have to say, because it all started there back in 2019, before this last week in the last series with UTA in Louisiana. Mavericks actually swept the Raging Cajuns in that series in 2019. 2019 was a great year for UT Arlington baseball. And Philip Childs, our junior outfielder, his parents there at every single game, and his dad Eddie is absolutely amazing. And anytime Philip got up to the plate, or anytime one of the Mavericks hit a double into the alley or down the line or something, it just kind of turned into a thing, hit it to the gap. And in the eighth inning, when the Mavericks were coming back against the Raging Cajuns a couple of years ago, he just started the chant, and it was a packed house, and everybody started chanting. All the UTA fans just saying, "Hit it to the gap, hit it to the gap." And one of the Mavericks, I can't remember exactly who it was, maybe been Zach Cook back then, hit it to the gap. Mavericks win in a crazy walk off. And the very next day, he has already screen printed T-shirts for everybody to give out to say, "Hit it to the gap." The very next day. Couldn't believe it. Like, man, the turnaround is just unbelievable on these things. And since then, it has turned into a marketing deal. There's graphics up now. I've hit it to the gap. That's been awesome. A little toned down this year, not going to lie, but it picked up a little bit in the Louisiana series, and I know that haunts the Raging Cajuns still to this day.
Jay and Brad actually did talk about that this weekend.
I believe it. That's probably one of the first things we said to each other when they walked into the press box. We're going to get it, aren't we? But yeah. And then we had a crazy game one. It went 15 innings. Louisiana won 4-3 in the top of the 15th is when they got their game winning run to come across the plate. And after the game, I pretty much told them, like, you know, that's revenge for hitting to the gap. And that game won 2 years ago. And I think we all agreed on that.
Earlier this year, you had a kind of a special broadcast partner for one of your games. Was announced earlier on a couple of months ago that Greg Young, longtime assistant for UT Arlington, was going to be taking over at the helm of UTA. And I think this was before he was named the head coach, but he did a game with you for baseball as one of the assistant basketball coaches of UTA. How did that come about?
He has always wanted to do one. Well, a couple of years ago, Darren Thomas, baseball coach, did a basketball game with me. And he's always wanted to do that. So when Greg Young saw that, he got a little jealous. He wanted to do a baseball game with me. That all goes back to their JUCO college days, their very early careers in coaching. When Darren Thomas and Greg Young were coaching in Kansas and Colorado, they knew of each other. They knew who each other were because they were doing radio broadcasts as a coach, too, on the other side of the sports whenever they weren't doing their main sports and coaching. So they were also former radio guys. if you will. So GY said, I really want to do a game. And we played Lamar. It was a 4-game series. And the only run scored for UTA in a 4-game series was the 6 innings that Greg Young was in the booth. So it was obviously a lucky charm. But he was absolutely fantastic. I felt bad for – it was a lot of storytelling. I felt bad for some of the Lamar fans probably listening, thinking, what in the world is going on in this broadcast? Because some of the stories that we were hearing, some of the stories he was telling was just out of this world. I mean, it was such a good time. And then, as you know, a few months later, Chris Ogden moves to Texas. Greg Young is promoted as the head coach. And we could not be more thrilled for arguably the nicest guy I've ever met in this sport.
We dive back to the baseball diamond. Obviously a big weekend for both Georgia Southern and UT Arlington. UTA trying to stay atop the Western Division. Georgia Southern trying to fight for one of the top two spots in the East. What's the feel around this team of what this series means this weekend in Statesboro?
It's kind of hard to gather. Just now I was looking at scenarios and trying to map my way through, okay, if UTA sweeps, if UTA loses the series, you know, who has to lose, who has to win for what you want. Obviously, you want to be in the first two spots. You believe in the West Division or in the divisions when it comes to the Sun Belt Conference tournament. This pool play, it's kind of an unknown because you're only guaranteed 2 games, and the time of games you want to play are different for each seed. On paper, it's hard to tell if where you want to be. Obviously, you want to be 1 and 2, but when it comes to playing times, and okay, you're going to play back-to-back games, you're going to play maybe Wednesday and Friday or Tuesday, you know, whatever it is, it's kind of hard to gather. I think once you get down to Montgomery, you'll have a general idea of, okay, this is what it's going to look like. But still so much in the air. For UTA, go out there, take care of business. If you can't get the sweep, at least get the series win, and just one game at a time. And the chips will fall where they land, and they'll be up for the challenge when it comes to the Sun Belt Conference tournament. But simply go out there, do what they've been doing all year, try and get that Friday night win, and we'll go from there.
Going to be a lot of fun to see you actually getting to travel to the conference tournament over in Montgomery, and I'm happy to see you without your flowing mane.
Yes. The COVID long blonde hair is a thing of the past, and we'll be dressed to the T down in Montgomery, and looking forward to see you guys dressed to the T as well. I'm sure y'all's hair hasn't been as crazy as mine has in the last couple of years, but hey, you never know. But if you ever feel like going blonde, I highly recommend it. Revlon, go to maybe a Kroger. It's like $2.99. It gets the job done.
No, in all seriousness, it was awesome getting to see you travel and get to Conway in 19. I know you had some amazing moments. I know it ultimately didn't go the way that you wanted to, but for everybody that's going to be there, I'm really happy you're going to get to go to Montgomery and do this again.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'm really happy as well, and I'm looking forward to seeing that stadium. I hear I've heard really good things about the stadium. I hear good things about the Biscuits, the minor league team, and apparently, you know, I've been to Montgomery, never actually been in Montgomery, but I think it's going to be a good time for everyone, and just one, happy we're having a conference tournament again, and yeah, Happy we're playing baseball, and I know we're slowly pulling out of what we've been going through the last year and a half, but really, really looking forward to it. I think the Sun Belt Conference tournament, I wouldn't say it's wide open, but it might be, and you and I both know that, and Colin too, that these games can go either way. I mean, heck, look at 2019, Texas State, number one seed, bounced 2 games. Anything can happen.
Josh, appreciate you joining us. Looking forward to getting to catch up with you next week in Montgomery, and safe travels out there, buddy.
Looking forward to it, guys, and yeah, good times as always.
Once again, that's the voice of the UT Arlington Mavericks, Josh Sowers, unmistakable Josh Sowers.
One of my favorite people on this planet. I know, yep. I give him a lot of stuff. He is one of my favorite people on this planet. Absolutely love being around him.
No doubt. Tonight, again, Georgia Southern will take on the Mercer Bears. It's a 6 o'clock first pitch from Ortho Georgia Park. And then Thursday through Saturday, again this weekend for Georgia Southern and UT Arlington, 6:30 the first pitch on Thursday and Friday. Saturday will be a 2 o'clock first pitch. We'll have air coverage for you 30 minutes prior to each.
And from what we saw, it's 80s night on Thursday. It is bingo on Friday. Of course, Senior Day taking place on Saturday. Remember, no attendance restrictions. It is full go. So if you've been on the fence, baseball, if you've been on the fence at all about coming out to JI, Masks are not being required. They are recommended if you feel like you need to still remain safe, but no attendance restrictions. 1-800-GSU-WINS if you'd like tickets, or visit gseagles.com/tickets. Let's get the biggest crowds of the year for these three games this weekend, because we're going to get a chance to celebrate guys like Mason McWhorter, Stephen Curry, Matt Anderson, Jacob Parker, Noah Searcy, guys that have been in this program for a long time, guys that have had a lot of success in this program, and it's going to be an emotional weekend, and hopefully it's going to be a successful weekend as the Eagles are right there with a chance to win the East Division.
11 different guys going to be honored on Saturday before the game for Senior Day. Roll through the list real quickly. Matt Anderson, Stephen Curry, Mason McWhorter, Tyler Owens, Jacob Parker, Noah Searcy, David Johnson, Nick Jones, Rhett Gay, Austin Kleinlein, and Tyler Jones. So those are the 11 guys that are going to be honored for Senior Day. It's the last time you're going to have an opportunity to see most of these guys here at J.I. Clements Stadium. So come out, support this team, support these guys as the last weekend in the regular season, the last weekend at J.I. Clements Stadium this
year. And maybe, just maybe, you'll get a chance to see them clinch a division championship. There's a lot that needs to happen over the next few days, but it is still well within striking distance. At the very worst, get a top two seed and be in the pole position for pool play going into tournament play.
Take a quick look on the golf scoreboard again. Georgia Southern through two holes. They are even today, so they stay at tied for 10th. Now tied with number 45, Indiana, who has dropped a couple of spots. LSU has jumped up to tied for 8th, as Florida State still leads the pack at 23 under. Georgia Southern will have to get, again, in the top 5 to move on as a team. In the top 5, the 5th team is number 11, Georgia. That is 6 under, so a couple of spots to jump for Georgia Southern today and tomorrow down in Tallahassee for the NCAA Regional.
What's our U pick?
Our U pick this week comes last week, as Aaron Soka asked our worst travel, because they had a little bit of a bumpy flight coming back from Arkansas State, and so the worst travel we have experienced.
There's two that's popping up immediately, and I'm not so sure which one is worse.
Okay.
But the one that we just had back in November, I feel like I should give to you, and then I can tell the one.
Oh, that's not mine.
Oh, that's not yours?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
All right, go ahead.
Mine is the first year we were in the league.
Oh, I know which one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I know which one you're doing.
You've heard this story many times.
I know which one you got now.
The first year we were in the league, it would have been 2014-2015 basketball.
Right.
They didn't have travel partners in the Sun Belt, and so basketball travel was insane. We went from, on a Thursday, Saturday, we would go from Arkansas State to Mobile. There's not a good way to do that, and so men's basketball would have to charter.
Right.
And so I would do the women's game, stay for the men's game, hop on the men's plane, charter down to wherever we were going next. I mean, there were some absurd trips. Went from Jonesboro to Mobile, went from home to Texas State on a Thursday. It was crazy.
I remember that one.
It was insane. And so thankfully that was only 1 year, because I don't know that anybody else could have survived doing more years of that. And so the first bad one we had, we played in Jonesboro on Thursday and then played in Mobile on Saturday. Well, of course, it was an 8 o'clock tip-off on Thursday in Jonesboro. So it's not even like you get a little bit of a head start a couple hours ahead. No. And so we knew we were going to have to charter and fly from Jonesboro Regional Airport and Garage Center to Mobile. Well, the buses had messed up. The bus company that they had out in Jonesboro didn't have a bus big enough to fit the entire team. So they sent their largest bus, and then they sent like one of the smaller buses, almost like a small party bus. It was very strange.
Like a wine tour bus?
Kinda.
Okay.
Almost like a, you know, charter schools have the smaller buses. That's what it kind of looked like. Or a shuttle.
Yeah, I got you.
So the support staff was in the shuttle. We get there first because we left before the team, because they were still showering and everything. So we pull up to the airport, and I promise you, if you've ever seen the movie Major League, you could have cut this scene and put it in and nobody know the difference. We get out on the tarmac, and we're like, oh, that's a nice plane. And then the buddy from the airport's like, no, that ain't your plane. great. Here comes this plane that I promise you was made in 1912. Like, the Wright brothers may have invented this plane. And so it's pulling up, and it's got the propellers on the wings, and I'm like, oh, this is not going to be good. Well, we get on the plane. It's a decent plane on the inside. I'm like, okay. We wouldn't get a plane that's not good. We get on, and the lady that is our flight attendant, she was experienced and had been doing this, I think she said, for 50 years. So, yeah, 50.
50.
Yes, yes. And she goes through her whole spiel of, if this, then this, if we do this, then this, and your life jackets are underneath. But after every scenario that she said that they have a plan for, she just kept saying, but that's never happened, y'all. That, if we need to do a water landing, but that's never happened, y'all. Like, could you jinx it anymore? Like, I was convinced we were going to have a water landing fall out of the sky and have to use our flotation devices all on one flight. But that's never happened, y'all. Great.
That's what you want to hear going to Mobile.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
And this is midnight. So we take off, we get to our cruising altitude, and we're like, okay, this is fine. We're good. And 90% of our team had never flown before. And it was a small plane, so you had one seat on one aisle and then two seats on the other aisle.
Right.
And so we get to our cruising altitude. We're about, I don't know, 30 minutes into the flight. And the flight attendant, who had not shut the door to the cockpit because she said she wanted us to feel comfortable, had the reverse effect. But the captain gets on the PA, which I think is kind of weird because he could have just turned around and told us.
Yeah, these are small charter planes.
Right. So he gets on the radio and said, we're going to be experiencing some rough air. We're going to keep the cockpit door open just to keep your mind at ease, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, no. And I kid you not, it was like we were a bath toy in the sky. We were bouncing all over the place. We had players freaking out. It was crazy. Somehow we landed in Mobile, and I said I would never get on a charter plane again. But I did.
That didn't work.
No, it did. So that was mine. Probably okay. More drawn out than it needed to be. But
all right, the two that I'm thinking of, the one Eagle Nation, just about all of you saw what the football team went through at Newark coming back from Army this year. So instead of going through that piece by piece, you can go back to Facebook and Twitter and you can relive that yourselves, because that one was a lot more social media-y than the one that I'm going to talk about. 4 years ago, and you were only with me for part of this trip, when men's basketball had a two-week-long road trip that started in George Mason, Fairfax, Virginia. So we flew up to D.C., and this is maybe 20 minutes away from D.C. We got to go downtown right before our flight a couple days later. We saw the White House. It was cool and all that. Fly out to L.A. from D.C., play Cal State Bakersfield. We go from Bakersfield to Phoenix that morning, and then it was going to be from Phoenix back to Atlanta because the next game in that four-game trip was Kennesaw. We get to just past Montgomery, and this was the day that Hartsfield-Jackson lost all power. We were an hour away, and we were told that we could not land in Atlanta. We had to turn around since we were American Airlines for that trip. They turned us back, and we had to go to Dallas because that's the American Airlines hub. They got the American Airlines Arena where the Mavericks play. And at that point, they had canceled just about every flight into Atlanta. There was nothing we could have done the rest of the day. So while they're trying to figure out what we're going to do, we land in Dallas, and we're in the airport all day because they lost our luggage. Everybody's luggage. Because what happened that morning in Bakersfield, they didn't check everybody's bag individually. They put them all in one big pile and just assumed that they were all going to get where they needed to. But with the power shut down, that all got thrown completely out of whack. So we are in this main area. Alex Meltzer, who was the director of ops at the time, is going through figuring out, okay, how many guys can I get on this flight? How many guys can I get on this flight? Because we're in danger of not being able to get to Kennesaw to play the very next day. Well, there was 2 days, but we had to get there the next day so we could actually get settled and not arrive on the day of. So we're in the airport all day. And I remember it was the day that the Steelers and the Patriots played, and Larry Dixon, former assistant coach, huge Steelers fan. That was the controversial catch, no catch at the goal line that cost the Steelers the game. We actually lost head coach Mark Bynton because he went back through the security to see if he could get the bags and figure that out. Well, they didn't let him back in. So he ended up having to stay separate from the team. They never gave us the bags. This happened to thousands of people in that airport because Atlanta being shut down apparently is a pretty big deal, biggest airport in the world. So we end up finally getting lodging. They got us into a hotel about 20 minutes away. I want to say it was one of the Marriotts. It was DFW North or whatever. But the next day, we ended up having a situation where the team was going to fly from Dallas to Montgomery and then bus. Mark Janak and I and a couple of the managers, support staff, we're going to be flown to Greenville, Spartanburg, where we would get a car and drive to Atlanta. So they were going here. We were going here. Somehow we all met in the middle the night before the Kennesaw game, got a really hasty workout, didn't have practice uniforms. Guys had to wear what they were wearing the whole day before because couldn't find the luggage. Did not get the luggage until the day of the game. And I think that's where you came back in because we couldn't find Mark Janak's bag to save our lives.
Yeah.
So you had to take him back multiple times to see, and it's not like his was a very discreet bag. It was a black suitcase that would look like thousands and thousands of others that would have gotten lost in all of this. But he finally gets his bag. They have it in some kind of hermetically sealed plastic that you would put a body in or something. We end up playing Kennesaw that night, somehow win. Things are back to normal. Bus to East Tennessee State to finish the trip and then go home. But that was two straight weeks on the road. But that little blip of botched air travel with Atlanta losing power felt like that was 2 weeks just by itself.
Yeah, I remember I came up separately to George Mason because I had to come back to Statesboro for women's basketball while you were out in Bakersfield, and then I was going to drive up and meet you at Kennesaw.
Yeah, and Bakersfield, there would not have been room for you anyway. There was barely enough room for me at that table courtside.
Yeah. And so I remember when y'all landed in Dallas, you texted me, "You're not going to believe this." I'm like, oh, this is not going to be good.
You're probably thinking, why are you in Dallas?
Yeah. There was a lot of things going through my mind at that point.
That's not Atlanta.
No.
No, that's when the power got shut, and we were sitting there all day trying to figure out flights when it got put back into power, trying to figure out where our bags are. That was the longest day in an airport, in an actual airport, when we flew commercially.
So that is this week's You Pick. Thank you, Aaron Soka. Always coming through in the clutch. But tonight, Georgia Southern will take on the Mercer Bears. 6 o'clock, the first pitch will be on the air at 5:30. Time for us to hit the road and make our way up to Ortho Georgia Park. 6 o'clock, the first pitch. We're on the air at 5:30 for Georgia Southern against the Mercer Bears. For the voice of the Eagles, Danny Reed, this is Colin Lacey saying so long, everybody.
You've been listening to Inside Eagle Nation, powered by Learfield, the official podcast of Georgia Southern Athletics.